While he was working on it, there was some power that was still in the appliance and it electrocuted him. And he was probably, he's about 32, I believe he was. And he had a young wife. They hadn't been married. Just they had some young children. And it killed him on the spot. And I don't know if some of you know Enoch Snow. He's from out of Oklahoma, but he was a young preacher. I heard him tell. He said when he got the call that his brother-in-law had been killed, he said all I could think about was my sister and her two babies. And he said so I drove as hard as I could to mom and dad's. And he said I walked in. And he said, Dad, where's she at? And he said, well, she's in there. And he said he went in there and his sister was laid across the bed crying. And I don't even know why I felt like telling this. It just kind of just got a hold of me tonight. And he said, my sister was laying across the bed crying. He said, I got down beside her. And he said, I started praying for her. And he said, I was trying to encourage her. And he said, I heard my sister begin to sing that song that says, with Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus, I know I can win. No matter what comes my way, my life is in your hands. Ain't you glad of that? With Jesus, I can make it. Brother Jacob, with Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus, I can make it. You know, if he's walk away from me this evening, with all of our, and I'm a holiness preacher. I believe in holiness standards. I am. But with all of our holiness, Brother Namath, with all of our wholeness, if the Lord was to leave me right now, I'd fall flat on my face like a little baby. I wouldn't be able to do it. But with Jesus, I can make it. Do you believe that with Jesus, I can make it? That's what he said. He told him, he said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. It's a fact. You ain't getting out of that. You ain't getting out of that. Just buckle up if you're alive, if you're breathing. You're going to have to deal with things. There's going to be people talk about you. There's going to be times when you get sick. There's going to be times whenever you don't know how you're going to make it through the night. In this world, you shall have a tribulation. That was the situation. It's always there. It's always there. As long, you know, we think, and I'm not trying to be a damper on things, but we think if we ain't careful that living for God takes away all the problems. But it don't, because as long as you're in this world, we're mistaking earth for heaven, and heaven and earth are two different places, and we're not up there yet. I'm on my way, but I ain't made it yet, ain't Darlene. In this world, he said, you shall have tribulation. That's the great conquest. That's what we're living for. We're living in this world, and as long as I'm in this world, I got to deal with two things that heaven don't have, and number one, that's tribulation, and number two, that's time, and while time lasts, I'm going to have to deal. I'm going to have to fight me. I'm going to have to fight my own personal battles all the way to the grave. But I love what Jesus said. In this world you shall have tribulation. You know, he was the only teacher that I ever read about that could take a pair, two statements that meant totally opposite and seemed like put them right together. But he said, but be of good cheer. You can almost hear assurance in the words of Jesus. He said, but be of good cheer. Don't you worry about it. That wasn't, he wasn't making a statement. He was making a commandment. And somebody said, I don't know if I can make it. But you know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And you can make it, can't you? You can make it. What do you got to do? I got to get closer to him. Because with Jesus, I can make it. Somebody said, I don't know if I can make it. Well, then you probably need to knuckle down and get a hold a little more of him. I can make it. I can make it. I got diabetes. I don't even know what a triglyceride is. It sounded like a tool to me, but they told me I had 1,500 of them somewhere. And I asked the doctor, I said, is that a lot? You know, she said, yeah, I said, is that high? And she said, no, 500 would have been high. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm working on it. I ran a little. I didn't run, but I walked a little fast. But like running, brother. We have to deal with this. Amen. But the commandment was not to look at it and say, I can't make it. I don't think I can do it. That's not what he said. And that's not nothing that he didn't say that. He said, but be of good cheer. You know, three or four times in Scripture, he says, be of good cheer. And one of the times was whenever he was talking about tribulation. Another time he was walking on the sea. He said, "Be not afraid. It is I." I mean, the Lord, he just walks right in the middle of our trouble. And he says, "You know, just quit your worrying. Stop worrying about it. I'm here. If it was up to you, yeah, worry about it. But you ain't doing it by yourself. You're doing it with me. I got the Lord on my side. The devil can't hurt me as long as I got him in my life." Jonathan Edwards, one of them old riders, they asked him, they said, "Ain't you afraid of going out there and preaching to them natives in Africa? Ain't you afraid of getting killed?" He said, "No, I am indestructible as long as God is using me. Be of good cheer." It's one of them hallelujah, anyhow moments when you got to tell the devil, "Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I tell you what, he's everything to me. Thank you, Jesus. But be of good cheer." That's a commandment, brother. I don't know how to do that sometimes. But sometimes you got to put it on. You got to make a choice. I'm going to outlive this. Sister Connie, you got to just say, "I've got to go on. I got to." What do you do whenever you're in? Some people says that, and we think, "Well, you don't know what trouble is." But what do you do whenever you look at a man like Paul, who's strapped to a prison cell? Do you know the only reason we got the book of Philippians is because he wanted to go to Philippi, but he could not make it there, brother Naaman, because he was in prison. And Paul's talking to the church of Philippi, and he talks about the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord. He said, you know what he did? In the middle of trouble, in the middle of tribulation, that old man of God grabbed a hold of some joy and some cheer, and he strapped it across his back, and he could tell us, "You can do it. You can make it. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. For I have overcome the world." Not because I love it when I read the book of Revelation. And one of the things I love about it is when John was looking out and he saw the beast rising up out of the water, and he begins to weep, and he begins to get troubled about it. He's looking around and he's wondering, "What are we going to do now?" And you can almost see how he felt. And he said, I mean, you can almost see this man of God look all over heaven, look all over and say, "What are we going to do now?" But the Bible says, "But there was a lamb." He looked at the top of Mount Zion and he saw a lamb rising up right on Mount Zion. Who is this lamb? This is the one. He was slain from the foundation of the earth. He was slain before the world started. That means before there was ever a trouble in my life, there was a lamb that died to save me from my situation. I'm so glad. Yes, he did. He overcame. He overcame. They make it. They overcame. They overcame. You know, to overcome something, you have to have a problem. To be have a resurrection, you have to have a death. To have a miracle, you have to have a need. I want what they used to have. They had a lot of needs in them days, and they needed a move of God, and they got it. They laid on their face in the mountainsides. They couldn't spell their names, some of them, but they knew how to pray, and they knew how to get a hold of God. They didn't come to church and be bothered by everything. They threw their tissue box down when they come in the door, and they overcame. I remember, listen, I want to read something. He said, I love what Sister McNutt said. She said, "With Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus, I can make it. I can't make it without him. I'm not even going to try. I tried too long without him." Somebody told me one time, said, "You know, the devil fought me when I was in church." I said, "Yeah, he did. I'd have fought you too if I was a devil. He probably fought you better then than he does now, because you was his buddy. You're his buddy now. He don't fight his friends. I mean, we're in war. You know, you go to Perryville, Kentucky, and they got a big old memorial park there. It is a park. That's what it is. But while we was working there a few years ago, we was fooling around the tree, and right in the stump of it was a bayonet inside the stump. And whenever we pulled it out, it dawned on me, this hasn't always been a playground. This used to be a battlefield. Let me tell you something. If we ain't careful, we'll mistake the church for a playground when it's really a battlefield. I have fought the devil all week belong. I didn't come in here to just play around. I need a move of God tonight. I need some things moved out of my life. We're in the house of God. This is where we get victory at. This is where we get overcoming power. The Bible says, 11th chapter of John, said a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary, and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. When he heard about the need, he purposely delayed. Jesus on purpose did not go and meet the need. He said this wasn't unto death. Listen to what he says on down. These things said he, this is verse 11. After that he said, wait, verse number 9, he says, and Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light. And then he said, these things he said, and after he said it unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, and they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, some people say that's a contradiction, but truly it ain't. He said, "This our friend, this sickness is not unto death." In other words, the purpose of this sickness is not so he'll die, but so God will be glorified. Of course, he did die. We know he died. It was obvious that he died. And in nowhere you look in the Bible where you find God's miracles. And God, every time a miracle was made all through Scripture, there was always somebody crying out, I need help right here. And the miracle would come. Ain't you glad that we're serving a God that don't just listen to us when we got money in the bank and our bills are paid and our health is good and we can walk like most people? Ain't you glad we're serving a God that when Peter ain't caught a fish all night, he comes on the scene anyway, whenever it seemed like we're failing and nothing's going right, Jesus comes walking to the shores of our life. And he waited when he got sick, whenever he found out he was sick. What does that mean? You remember in the Bible, whenever a young girl was dying, her daddy come and got Jesus. What was her name? What is his name? You have to forgive me. Jairus' daughter, yeah, was sick. She went and got Jesus. He went and got Jesus. And Jesus is on his way. And he's almost there. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just stops right in the middle of the journey on his way to meet the need. Now, I'm talking about this for a reason. Because, Brother Chris, there are times when there is a right moment for a miracle. There are moments in our life that just seem right for a miracle. There are moments that seem right for a miracle when you think, if he's going to move, he'll have to move right now. And that's what Jairus was doing. She's dying. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it now. And he turns. He's excited. Got him almost to the point where Jesus is going to move. And then all of a sudden he looks back and Jesus is not moving. You know, it is easy to serve God while he is moving. It's easy to serve Jesus while he is journeying, while he's moving. When you're feeling the Spirit of God move and you know everything's going to be all right. But what do you do when on the journey it seems like Jesus just stops in his tracks and lets you journey by yourself? Why are you doing, Jesus?
She's just in the house.
Yep, God.
I'll be in there in a minute, Jairus.
You don't even have to come now, Jesus. She's dead. Talking about a right moment for a miracle. Jesus, it seemed like, missed the moment for Jairus' daughter, for Mary's brother. You know, we talk about this, people saying, I'm in a need, and everybody's around saying, help them, Jesus. But when you're the person doing the request, it's not just a casual help them, Jesus. You're in a need. I need a miracle. If God don't come, my babies are going to die lost. If he don't come by, my family's going to die lost. And that's where they're at. Mary is waiting on Jesus. And for that purpose, Jesus stops and he waits. How many times have you ever felt the Lord seem to stop and wait when you drastically needed him? Now, I want to make this clear. I'm not bashing Jesus. I'm not bashing Jesus. But the fact is every one of us has needed one of them right now moves of God. And it seemed like it did not quite come right now. Death is lingering. Death is all around. If God don't help us, we're going to under. If he don't come by, Lord, I need you here. I prayed all night long and I ain't felt nothing. And if you don't come right now, what's going to happen? If you don't come, my baby's going to die. Caitlin's fever was 5.8. She was 3 years old and had lost 3 pounds. And Darlene, she went from 21 pounds, a very small baby, at 3 years old, 21 pounds. And I'm watching her at 5.8 fever. And I watched her lay there about to die. And I laid down. I finally had to get to the point. I was like, Lord, if you don't heal her. She got down to 18 pounds. You know, that's my daughter. That's not your daughter. And Brother Jacob, it's hard on you to hear my daughter sick. But it's real hard on Daddy. And Darlene, you remember them days. You and Tim helped us quite a bit at times. And when y'all, but I laid down beside her. And I had to pray through myself. I finally said, Lord, if you decide to take my little baby, it's none of my business. But I sure would love to keep her. I sure would love to keep her. And you know what? It wasn't very long, Brother Naaman, that God moved. God moved and he moved miraculous. My little baby at 13-year-old was baptized in the Holy Ghost. We packed her out of the church speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. But let me tell you something. There's been a few times where we wanted God to move and he did not move when we felt like he would move. When is the right time for a miracle? When do you get the miracle? How many needs a miracle tonight? I got family. I got very close family hooked on meth. I need a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. You may not call that a miracle. That takes a miracle. I got a mom and daddy that if they left this world tonight, would spend eternity without God. I need a miracle. When is the right time for a miracle? That's the question. Hang on, Jairus. It's just a delay. Brother Chris, it's just a delay. Brother Jacob, it's just a delay. I was thinking about that story when I was praying for you and your wife. And I don't know what you're going through, but you can make it. You know that? You can make it. You can make it. Sister Brooke, you can make it. I felt the Lord very strongly to tell you guys that you can make it. You can make it. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know, but I will tell you this. God has got a plan. He has not walked away. Your problem and your trouble hasn't caught heaven off guard. God is very, very conscious of what's going on. What are you doing, Jesus? Oh, I'm lingering a little bit. So you can come to terms with the fact that death has no power over me, that the situation, you know what's so bad about death? It's final. I was telling Somebody the other day, I said, I'm glad I told my grandma I love her as much as I could. I'm glad I did. Because when she died, it was over. I couldn't tell her that no more. And Aunt Arlene, I'm glad. I'm glad we got to tell Mama Rosie, we love you. But it's something so final about losing somebody. And it seemed like it's so final. And you seem like everything that you need to do, it's too late to do it now. I wish I could go back and say I'm sorry. I wish I could go back and say, hey, let's go spend a little more time together. Mama, won't you cook me another one of good meals that you cook? But I can't do that no more, Brother Jacob, because there's a finality in death. But when it comes to miracles, sister, there's no finality when it comes to miracles. You know, if Jesus was going to move, he'd already moved. They said he's been dead 4 days. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you know, Lazarus is dead. Thomas had to be a smart aleck. He did. That's what he was being a smart aleck. He said, well, yeah, let's go. Let me read how he says it. Then Tom said, Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let's all go down there that we may die with him. He was being a smart aleck. There's one in every crowd, ain't they? If you ain't got one in the church, Jesus had a Thomas. But there was one in every crowd. But he was being a smart aleck. Because Jesus had just said, Lazarus is dead. And Thomas thinking, well, why in the world are we going down there? And some of us do that. We want to bring a prayer request. We used to give him prayer requests for him. But it's too late. If he was going to move, he'd have done it back then, wouldn't he? Well, if he was going to move, you'd have moved the other day. But you delayed. I'm talking about the right moment for your miracle. Sister Allison, the right moment. I need a miracle. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Martha comes to him in verse 21. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou's been here, my brother had not died. What she was saying was, I know you could have healed him. I know you could have helped him back then. I love the good old day stories. I know you could have helped him yesterday. Sister, Christy, is that right? We could have had a revival 20 years ago. How many times you heard that? Drop their head. The Lord don't move like he used to. Oh, really? You ain't been to church where I've been. Because if you believe that, some friends that I fellowship, they live in India. They come over. Brother Finney Jacobs, some of his members there. Two young boys preaching. Started preaching, 18-year-old, India. They come in the church. They trashed the church. They ran all the members out of the church. They beat several of the men up, laid them, left them laying on the floor, arrested two young Holy Ghost-filled preachers, Brother Jacob, about a little younger than you, and hauled them off to the jailhouse there in India. They hated the gospel. They hated Christianity. They was Muslims, and they hated them. And Brother Finney Jacob said, while they was in prison, said the Holy Ghost began to move inside the prison house, and them young boys began to preach and had a revival in the prison house. And while revival was going on right in the prison house, they said the gates of the prison opened wide open while they were standing there, and two young preachers walked out of that prison. That was not grandma's day, but that was our day. That was last year. If he's still doing it just like he did back then, don't you ever put a time on the miracle of God. Amen. That sound familiar? Jesus said, Martha, he's going to rise again. You're putting trust in yesterday. But we need you right to believe right here. The reason I waited. See, when he walked away, if he'd have touched Lazarus, it'd have been a good story, and we'd all probably talked about it. But Brother Jacob, he didn't just touch it. He went beyond when it was finally over, and it was finished, and everybody was done, and no more prayers were being made for little old Lazarus. Jesus comes on the scene when everybody had already said it's too late for a miracle. It's too late for a miracle. I wish I could preach to somebody tonight, because I felt the Lord deal with me that someone here has said it's too late for my miracle. But let me tell you, though he's been in the grave 3 days, don't worry, Sunday is on its way. He's on his way. Thank you, Jesus. It's too late for a miracle. You couldn't help my people. If you was going to do it, I wish we could have had revival before they got hooked. Brother Chris, I wish we could have had revival. I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about when the Spirit of Truth has come. I'm talking about that kind of revival where he leads and guides men, and they find themselves kneeling down on the ground and saying, God, all I want is just a little more, just a little more. I know I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but that ain't enough. I want a little more. Brother Jacob, I wish we could have had it while me and my brothers were babies. And God, I wish he could have saved us both and then brought us up in the house of God. Remember Jacob? He raised his children away from God. Dinah was grown, got to playing around with the world, and the men of the world raped her. And Jacob goes back to his house, and he goes to cleaning house. It's time to have revival. But the run has already happened. Dinah has already been hurt. Lazarus is dead. That's what I'm talking about. It's so final. It's so final. It's so final. And then here comes Jesus. When it was too late. When there was no use praying no more. When we'd given up hope. When we've given up hope, he can't fix it now. It's too late, and then here he comes. You know, death had no power over him. He shows us that at the end of his life, but more than that, he showed us that during his walk. Because he would walk up to a graveside and raise the dead while he was doing it. One old preacher back in the 1800s was at many funerals that they said there was only two that they actually buried, because every time he'd get close to a dead person, he'd go to praying for them and God would raise them up. And you know, we make so many things final, but you know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting one key factor in the equation. What about God? What about God in the situation? If God would just come by, if Jesus would just come by, I don't know if I can make it through the night. Oh, with Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus, I can make it. And he told Lazarus. And now I was looking at this, Brother Naaman, and this spoke to me. But he says, Lazarus. Now we're standing on the bank. It don't seem like a big deal. But if you are Lazarus, and you're the one laying in the grave, and you hear the Lord call you forward, and you know that you're dead, now I want you to think about this. It's one thing for him to tell somebody else to get up. But darling, when he's looking at you and saying, you need to get up, I can almost hear Lazarus. I don't know what he did, but obviously he heard Jesus, didn't he? Obviously he heard him. But if I was him, I probably would lay there and think, you know, they know I can't get up, and I know I can't get up. I've been laying here too long. I've been where I'm at too long. There's no way I can get up. How many sometimes feel like you've been dead for 3-4 days, and you hear the Lord say, and all right, it's time for you to get up.
That's right.
Well, you know, ask Brother Chris. He's a preacher. it ain't Brother Chris. He's always calling. Sometimes he's calling you to get up. I needed a miracle the other day, Lord, if you'd have helped me the other day. Sister Becky, if he'd have just been by there the other day. But I could almost hear him saying, Becky, come forth. Can you hear that? And no doubt the devil was whispering in her ear. You know you like the cigarettes. You know you like that world. You know you like sin. You know you like living like you did. You know you did. There's no way you'll be able to get out. Well, normally she couldn't have. Normally she couldn't. But she heard a voice from heaven calling her name. It was on a road to hell that he called me out and he changed my life. And then he does something else. Brother Name, he did something that we're not crazy about sometimes. He told me, he said, all right, you guys on the bank, don't just stand there and watch them. You got to help them. You got to help them. Because Lazarus was a mess when he come out of the tomb. When he was a mess. You imagine what the prodigal son smelled like on the way back from the far country. He didn't smell good. He'd been living with the hogs. He'd been living with the hogs. And that's what Lazarus had been living in. And they actually even said, you know, he stinketh. But Jesus said, I told you to go down there and loose that man. I wish sometimes that we would get our mind made up. Then when we see them coming out, instead of standing back criticizing them, I believe in living right. But we got to get them out of the grave clothes. We got to get them out of the tomb. We got to get them out of the place where they're at. Loose that man, he said. Loose him and let him go.
That's right.
He was not talking to Lazarus. He was talking to the people on the bank.
Yeah.
Sister Allison, he was talking to those that looked around. And they said, well, you know, he don't look exactly like us. Now, please don't get me wrong. I believe in living right. But when they're coming out of the grave, they don't have pressed clothes. They look like they've got grave clothes on. They may come out smelling like cigarette smoke every night, but it's our job to grab them by the arm and say, hey, there is deliverance. There is deliverance. There's victory in Jesus. With Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus. Becky, if you ever walked away from the Lord, you'd be back there. But with Jesus, I can make it. I wish I could preach to somebody. I wish I could preach to somebody. Brother Jacob, I want you to know with Jesus you can make it. I felt the Holy Ghost to tell you that earlier. With Jesus you can make it. He's got a plan. The devil says he's not going to do it and he ain't done it yet. But he's going to do it. You just got to hang on. Hold on, Mary. Hold on, Martha. Lazarus is going to rise. Your brother will get up. The miracle I promised back there, I'm going to do. Yeah, he's asleep, but he's going to wake. Even when death takes over. He promised something at sleep and then he died. The situation got worse. The situation got worse. Do you hear me? The situation got worse when I got saved. When my wife came back to the Lord. She drove home. She started to stick a cigarette in her mouth. And the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, if you'll throw that out, I'm going to save him. Brother Chris, when I found out she went to church, I packed my bags and I said, two gods can't live in the same house. And I left my home, left my wife, and left my crying babies sitting there by themselves. And I went crazy. The situation got worse. I got worse and worse. Ain't Darlene? They drug me out of Owsley Fork Lake. I don't even remember being in there. Full of the devil. Full of ungodliness. Snorting pills. Getting drunk. Acting like a devil. But let me tell you something. You know what my wife did when they called her and said, Dwight's doing this? My wife said, well, he is right now. But the Lord gave me a promise. And whenever this is over with, I don't want no more talk and no more conversation. What was she doing? She was trying to help me get the grave clothes off. She was trying to help me. I went to take a man's life, and I prayed that the devil would possess me that night, Brother Naaman. And I don't remember anything after that as far as a conscious mind. It got worse. My little wife, I came back home one night to spend with my children. My wife came into church, or came home from church. I was laying on my couch. She walked in, and she said, Dwight, she said, are you ever going to go? And I said, that man is dead, and this man's going to hell. That's what I told her. And she said, are we ever going to be a family again? I said, I want you. I want John Gabbard, and I want God out of my life forever. And I was I don't mean to talk about this, but Brother Chris, it got worse. It got worse. It seemed like I'm talking about a hopeless situation. And my wife said she started to walk away, and the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, you need to tell him your testimony. And I didn't hear her say that. She never told me what she was doing. She said, all right, but I've got something to tell you. And she sat down on the end of the couch, and she started telling me about how God had started delivering her and giving her healing over bitterness that she'd had since she was a baby, and how God was restoring her heart and giving her a love. And I saw my wife, who had always been frail, and when it come to spirituality, she rose up like a tower. I felt devils leaving me that night, Brother Chris. I felt the spirit go. I felt the demons leaving me. I felt victory. I felt the grave close as they was coming off of me. Hey, it may get me bad now, and it may get worse, but the right moment for the miracle may not be yet. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. I knelt down to pray in a church in Hope, Missouri. And while I was there, there was a woman in the back with a little baby. And the Holy Ghost moved on me and told me to go back and tell her that he had a plan to hang on. And I walked back there. Now, I don't believe in this, miss it today and hit it and miss it. I don't believe in that. I mean, if your spirit don't hit it every time, then you got the wrong one. If God said they're going to die and they live, well, it wasn't God. It was you. That's what it was. We don't got to pray about it. I'm not afraid of that spirit. I'm just saying, God, if God said you're going to die, I couldn't keep you alive. If God said you're going to live, I couldn't shoot you. You're going to live. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me right there in that church. And I finally walked back there and I laid my hands on her and I said, sis, I just heard the Holy Ghost say, you need to hold on. He's got a plan for you and that baby. And I found out after church she had 3 months to live. I didn't know it. She had melanoma, whatever it is, cancer. Her daddy came to me and said that they told her that she wouldn't be able to keep that baby till it was a year old. And I wanted to tell him, but I had to go pray about it again. I said, Lord, I know you told me you had a plan, but I don't understand it. So I went to the daddy, and I said, look, I said, I know what I felt tonight, and I know what I heard. I don't know how he's going to do it, but you hang on. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. The pastor called me about a month and a half later. He said, Dwight, you know that little girl? And he named her name. And I said, I don't know her. He said, the one that had cancer. I said, yeah. He said, they went back to the hospital tonight and said there was not a trace of cancer in her body. God had a plan. It may look like the end, but the end ain't the end. It's not when we're done, but it's when God's done. And he ain't done, and he ain't down. You may be down, but you don't have to be done. Get back up. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Amen. I'm done. I didn't mean to. I know it's 9:30. I'm done. But how many I know you're not going to raise your hand, but how many feel like life has left you? Open your ears just a little bit. You don't have to listen to the song. You don't have to listen to the preacher. It really doesn't matter. Darlene, my family, they don't need me great. They need God great. They don't need a great church. They need a great God. You see, we come to church. We need to go to God and let church be part of it. Come in here and find God. But you're not here to find us. You're here to find Him. And I feel like telling somebody right now, if you can listen closely, I believe you could hear Jesus whispering your name like He did Lazarus and telling you to get up. Don't worry about the church throwing off on you. We're going to be right there. We'll help you get the grave clothes off. We'll show you how to do it. We're gentle about this. We still love you. The church loves you. God loves you. The Holy Ghost loves you. He's got your best interest at heart. He knew your name before your mama even knew who you was. He cares about you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Let's stand tonight. Who are you tonight? Who are you? Can you hear him? Can you hear him just whispering? You can get up if you want to. Sis, will you just come on up? I know they'll come out here with you. Can you hear him? Say, come forth. Can you hear him? Just say, coming forth. You couldn't get up whenever you was trying it by yourself. But when Jesus is saying, get up, that's what makes all the difference. Peter would have never been able to step out of the boat had Jesus not called him. But when Jesus calls you, He'll break all natural feelings. He can take all bitterness, all hurt, all frustration. He can make the ones that hurt you. He can give you peace over that. He can give you peace over that. He can give you love that'll let you lay down at night and sleep like a baby again. Lord, I need you. I feel dead. I need you. Don't get up here and lie to him. Get up here and tell him, I feel like Lazarus and I need a move of God. Sister, he's delivered a lot of people. And there's a lot of people going to be praying for you that know he can help you too. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing.
Because He lives,
come on,
I can face.